Welcome to the Green Tape Podcast with Matt and Ewan. I'm Matt.
And I am Ewan, supposedly.
And thank you, first and foremost, for tuning in for this, I guess I want to say pilot episode.
Let's call it a pilot.
Introduction sort of thing, because this is such a new experience for, I think, both of us. Well, I've not done anything like this before. I don't know if you have.
No, not at all. Like a Skype interview, I guess.
Do you remember when we were doing our, what's it called? With Gary, I had to do the interview for that person in Canada.
Oh, yeah. So, I never actually listened to that.
Yeah, you don't. I don't know why I brought that up, because now people are going to go, please don't nobody try and find it. But it was just...
What was the publication called, Matt?
I can't even remember, you know. I genuinely can't remember, but that was the first experience I'd have with anything like this.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's odd, but no, thank you for tuning in and hearing us talk shit, basically.
We've already had a tangent and we haven't even told you what the fucking podcast is about
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. Ewan, would you like to take that one?
To tell everyone what the fucking podcast is about?
Yeah, do it.
First of all, this is an explicit podcast. Kids, don't watch. Me and Matt are foul-mouthed cunts. So, yeah, there we go. I mean...
You've gone for the jugular.
Gone for the jugular. I've also alienated the entire American audience immediately.
Well, I think any audience... No.
And probably anyone.
I don't know. Like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, because especially in everything that we do, and if anybody doesn't know what me and Ewan do, we'll
get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That's what I was saying, man. Okay. I think this is the first thing where, as well, it's not as super serious. It's not super...
If you're expecting, like, a to-the-script news podcast about, like, a weekly update or... whatever the hell you like to listen to, it's not that.
It's definitely the opposite of
that.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah,
this podcast is essentially kind of a space to have discussions between me, myself and Matt, two versions of me. Mm-hmm. And guests. We'll bring on a new guest every episode apart from this pilot episode.
Yeah, I think as well, like at the same time, if there's an issue or something that would just be between me and you, I don't think it would be cause for concern for it just to be me and you talking either.
But generally the format will be, we'll bring on a guest and that guest will be the whole idea is it's a podcast about being a small independent creative, essentially. Where me and Matt are both musicians, and we've got some people lined up to bring on who are like independent clothing designers, photographers, videographers, other musicians, and a whole host of other like independent people who work within the creative space to talk about their experiences. So maybe you might learn something about being a creative in a ever more difficult environment to be an independent creative, particularly if you want to start out or if you're just interested in hearing people chat about music and art and shit like that. Then
I think that's one thing that I'm quite interested in, because this, like, photography is something that I've always, as you're well aware, is something I've always wanted to dive into, and especially with some of the people that we've got lined up to come on, there's like, I have genuine questions for them, and especially as well for some of the musicians, I've got genuine questions for, because in a format where you're just sort of like speaking to them as friends,
yeah,
sometimes it's very hard to dip in that conversation of how do you do X, Y, Z. Like,
whereas this is now a televised excuse to learn things from people that
we're
wanna...
exploiting other creatives.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. This is an exploitative measure.
But I think where this is something, like we said, we've been wanting to do this for a while, and we sort of thought, well, fuck it, let's go for it. I think we're getting other creatives on board as well. It's very much a case of that. I don't think we wanted to regiment this in any way, shape or form, because I think that's then counterintuitive of it being a creative podcast.
And I mean, like, it's hard to like come up with a structure of set questions, like interview style for people, if every guest is going to be working in a completely different industry slash environment, so it doesn't make sense. It's much rather it was just like a chill old little chat. So that's essentially what this podcast is.
It is, and like I just another thing to make it obviously relatively clear, like the guest will obviously be recording from their wherever they work,
yes,
their abode.
Currently in the world that we live in.
Yeah. Me and Ewan are bubbling so that we will be either recording together, but sometimes I think we'll, because we both have the means to be able to record it, our own places as well. But I think that leads us quite nicely onto introducing each other. So I think the best way to do this is that I will say a few things to Ewan about Ewan, and Ewan can sort of...
You're gonna introduce me.
I think we'll start there. I think that's the best way to do it, because I think that was...
I mean, I feel uncomfortable talking about myself at the best of times.
The people that will listen to this initially, I think are people that will know us to some degree anyway.
Probably.
So I think this is a good chance for maybe people to know a little bit more about you.
Hey, Mum. Sorry about saying cunt earlier.
Yeah, really. Like, I don't even know if I can... Like, don't get me wrong, cunt, there's nothing wrong with cunt, but I can't just keep throwing it around. I've said it twice in the last sentence, so I'm going to hop... Dial it back a little bit. So I think first and foremost, we'll talk about sort of who you are.
Oh, no.
I know, Ewan, I know. And
who am I, Matt?
Who are you and what do you do? Like,
I've been to therapy for that question.
Here we go. So, like, if we start at the start, you're a creative as much as I am. But
try.
Yeah, like, tell me, I know, obviously, but I mean, for the people listening at home... Tell people how and why you're a creative. What got you into that? What really gave you the first taste of being a creative is the best way to put it. Because obviously what a lot of people don't know or might not know is that Ewan obviously isn't just a musician. Ewan's also a photographer as well.
Before I start at the beginning, I'm currently working in a band with... Matt, we play in a band called Dali, and you should definitely listen to us because we're fucking amazing.
Please.
Please listen to us. So that's what I spend all of my time and money doing, almost all of it. I started off, I sort of completely fell into this by accident. I started off getting a nice little camera for my 18th birthday from my parents because I was... getting into like photography and that kind of thing. And
was there any specific thing that got you into photography?
Work, weirdly enough. So I work in retail as a day job, and back then I was working specifically on like cameras and selling cameras to people. So it was through like learning about cameras and that. So I'd been interested in like had a camera prior, like when I was in secondary school.
Yeah.
And then working there sort of kickstarted my, like, oh yeah, fuck, I actually really like cameras and photos.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of odd because you actually did what a lot of people do, but you did it backwards. You learned about the craft and then got the thing that you were going to use to make it. That's really cool.
Yeah, so
like, that's kind of cool.
I like was full, you... Matt will know how nerdy I get about like anything, like, gear,
no,
tech.
No, Ewan is like straight up a nerd.
Yeah.
I love you, but you...
like, it wasn't like a surprise gift from my parents for my 18th. It was like, I'd already done hours and hours of research. I played with all the cameras at work, obviously, and I was like, this is the exact one that I want and I think is fucking sick.
Yeah.
And I got that. Thank you very much. It was, it's still sat just over there.
Oh my God, is it the same camera?
It's the same camera.
Christ, you got your money's worth out of that.
Yeah,
you?
I know. That is a Fujifilm X-T20. Really good little camera. I can't recommend the Fujifilm X-series mirrorless cameras enough. They are really, really great, particularly for stills. And I've shot plenty of video on it as well, including two Dali music videos. I got that and I was sort of, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with photography. I liked like a lot of street photographers I was quite into. So I was kind of looking into and doing a bit of that, as well as just like basically anywhere I'd go, I'd just take the camera and take photos. But then one of my friends, Leon C.
I know Leon, yeah.
Is a folk musician from Southampton who I used to play tennis with, is how I know Leon.
God, you are the gift that keeps giving, aren't I know. You?
he used to kick my ass at tennis, I can tell you. I was not good at this point.
At this point, so you got to that... Oh, shit. You got to that point, you excelled, and then thought, photography's more my wind. Just...
No, so I used to be really pretty good at tennis as a kid. I was I played county level and shit like that.
Oh, right, okay.
For around year six, year seven. Right. And then I moved to Southampton and couldn't find a tennis club I liked and just stopped playing. And then a few years later, I was just playing a bit for fun, and that's where I met Leon.
I see. So okay. He
was just sort of starting out as a folk musician, and he was playing a gig at the Talking Heads in Southampton.
R.I.P.
What
a venue.
Not the old Talking Heads, the new Talking Heads, but yeah. Still R.I.P. because both are dead now.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he was like, why don't you come along and take some photos? I've been seeing you've been doing a bit of photography. I was like, I don't know, I've never taken a photo of music before, but I'll give it a go. And then it got out of control, and I was shooting all of Leon's gigs, and I met other bands through
just the circuit, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just I just hopped into the circuit and was like fully in it. So I was shooting bands all over town, or and around the area as well, so up at Winchester and places like that. And it was at one of those gigs that I met Matthew.
Yeah, you met me.
In his old band, Hiraeth, before Dali was a thing. And I've been taking photos for, I don't know, Matt seemed to take a liking to me and my photos. So
do you know what?
He kept me around for years taking photos before I actually joined a band with him.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that I don't know what it is with other creatives, and it's normally not something that I'm out there specifically to do, but and I'm sure any other creatives listening will probably be the same as me, but when you're in an environment when you're working collectively, even on different things such as photography and music, you can really gauge that connection with somebody. And when you're on stage, as you're well aware, and you're playing and you're seeing that photographer really trying as hard as they can, even just to get that one shot. There's actually a shot that Ewan has got of me at the Talking Heads, which is my favorite shot ever. You just sort of get this, I don't know, I think you both understand the level that you're on, and you both understand that you're out here doing something so important and integral to who you are.
Yeah, it's you can immediately recognize when someone is as passionate about something as you are.
Yeah, and I think the thing as well is that I knew that, I remember speaking to you about it, and I knew that you almost just wanted more already, although this was the first show you were shooting.
Yeah.
So to me, the fact that I met you there, you were just such a nice guy that I was almost not drawn to you, but I got along with you well enough. And obviously we took you in on a weekender that we did as well, which was just eventful in itself.
Yeah, that was a ride.
That was a ride. But yeah, so when did it transition? Well, I know when it transitioned, but when did it really transition from photography being your main outlet to music being your main outlet?
Yeah, because I don't do photography anymore.
You don't do it as heavily, I think, as you used to.
Yeah, so I mean, I still do it for fun, but I don't do it for work at all anymore. So I'm not I do a lot of media stuff for Dali and that side, yeah. And some friends' bands. I was supposed to be doing a music video shoot last month, but then planning it in December, and then kind of big old lockdown kicked in, so that didn't happen.
Always fun.
But yeah, it's definitely by the wayside. So how it kind of transitioned was, this is sort of at the same time I'd already met Matt and was shooting photos for Hiraeth and then later Dali. During that sort of time, I I've been playing bass and guitar for a few years just out of fun, because I wanted to, and I never really took it that seriously. And then first mention of Dan Scott on the podcast.
Oh, here he is.
Big boy Dan. On a night out at Suburbia, and Max and Dan come up to me in the smoking area, and they're like, "We're starting a band. Do you want to be in a band? You play bass, right? We just need a bassist. Do you want to be in a band?"
That is literally the story of my life as well, needing a fucking bassist.
Right? So I was like, drunkenly, like, "Yeah, sure, I'm in a band now." And then I became obsessed. Like, because we started out doing a couple of covers, and that was fine. And we like,
"What did you cover?"
Oh,
this is the big question. What did you cover?
So when we first, so like, we hadn't written anything, and we only did like one or two rehearsals over the course of like 4 months or something at the beginning of this band.
Yeah.
And we covered Say Amen Saturday Night by Panic.
I don't know that song.
No? Oh, it was off of his last album.
Oh, Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco.
Not a fan, that's
okay,
why.
Okay, that's fair. Beating Heart Baby by I forget the artist, Automata or something, I don't know. It's a pretty, I'll show it you later. It's a pretty fun, catchy song.
Okay.
The Feel Good Drag by Anne Boleyn.
You're saying music that I'm not familiar with. It's fine.
It's all like kind of pop punky kind of stuff or whatever.
Okay, cool. Okay. Not my niche, but okay.
Yeah. Okay. It was just like random shit covers. And then me and Dan sat, Dan came over one day and we were like, "All right, I don't really want to be a cover band. Let's try write some music."
Which already, and that's me knowing Dan, seems weird for him.
I think it was more instigated by me. I think I was like, "Dan, come over. Let's try write some music." I think I'd been like trying to play around with some riffs and stuff.
You planted the seed with Dan and you just needed somebody to bounce off. I get that.
I remember the first like song I wrote was actually a song that we ended up playing live, which was the one we opened the set with.
Cool.
I don't remember what actual title we gave it, but the working title and the one I remember is it was called Catfished in Brighton.
Brilliant.
After an experience that me and Dan had clubbing in Brighton.
God, was that after Sticky Mike's show?
No, that was a different time in Brighton.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe it actually might have been after the Sticky Mike show.
But it probably was, wasn't it?
And from the moment that I finished writing that song, it was like an addiction. Like, I immediately had to write more.
Is that the first song you wrote?
That was the first song I ever wrote. And I fucking loved it. I was like, "I need more of this." So I then went and wrote, like,
just this plethora of songs.
This plethora of songs. I don't think I've shown you the demos, but they all sound like garbage, particularly like compared to the stuff we're producing at the moment.
It's the way it is though, man.
But like, the they sounded like poo, but the songs, I still like a lot of the songs, and they're really like clever, but simple, because I didn't really know how to write.
Yeah, but I think there's always that admiration for things that you write quite early on, because it's never amazing. And I even look back now to the songs that we started in Dali, and I'm like, fuck, this is trash. But I think it's that initial, like, especially when it's your first band, it's the feeling of completing something, even though you know that it's not finished.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst part of it, isn't it? That I have it with music all the time, is that you write something and you're like, is it done?
You'd never know when it's done, but like you get bored of working on it eventually. That's generally when you release it. You get bored of it about 6 months before you release it. And by the time it comes out, Matt's just like, "Oh, I want to change it. Let's not release the song and scrap it and do something else."
Oh, I've got, that's a story for either later or another day.
Yes.
Just my
but anyway, because I know I've been going on about my life story for too long. So essentially, I got hooked on writing music. I wrote a whole bunch of music for this band and fucking drove my poor bandmates insane, because it was quite, like, kind of technical riffs, kind of. Like, it wasn't the easiest stuff to play. And, like, we had to find a drummer. And, like, I pushed these guys so fucking hard for, like, 6 months, to the point where we played a gig. We only ever played one gig. because I was driving them so hard to get to the point where we could play a full set at a gig, and we did play it. It was a fucking amazing show.
Honestly, and this is not me blowing smoke up their asses. That includes all of them, which is I'm gonna Henry, Max, Lucy, Dan, yourself. Yeah. If I miss anybody?
No, that was it.
It was a fucking great show, yeah, man. Like, I think the thing is as well is that where you could tell that it was, I don't know if it was everybody's first show, but it felt like it, and everybody in the room felt so connected into what you were watching that it was, and I hate to be that guy, but it was mesmerizing in the fact that it was like, this is something so new and so fresh that it's so, you were just enthralling and in the moment of it, and that was what was beautiful about it.
Yeah, it was a felt amazing. Backtracking a little bit, sneaky old Matt here had jumped in a couple months prior and was like, Ewan, we've parted ways with our bassist, and you play bass, you're working on like a band, because you didn't really know, you hadn't heard any of the stuff. You guys essentially took a punt on me to fill in for a couple of shows.
Yeah, and like, this is where obviously Jack, who plays in the band with us, was very, very set on Ewan being part of the band.
Yeah, because originally it was just, oh, come to a couple rehearsals and then play a couple shows with us.
I really wasn't sure. The reason I wasn't sure, though, was because I think it's very different going from being friends with somebody within that creative community to actually working with them within a creative yeah. environment. Like, it's very different, and I was a little bit worried about that, because I was like, I have no idea how Ewan works, but like, we'd obviously rehearsed with you a few times, and we'd already knew you relatively well. I think my reservation was the fact that I could see how dedicated you were to Follavora, which, sorry, that is the name of Ewan's old band.
The name of my old band was Follavora. You won't find us anywhere, because everything's pretty much deleted. I think a Facebook page still exists, but yeah, we only ever played that one show. But yeah, so when they asked me to join, I was super torn up about it. Like, they gave me like a week to think about it or whatever.
Yeah, we're nice like that, that's why.
I was absolutely fucking torn up, because I knew it would mean giving up on Follavora, this project I'd been so passionate about like nearly a year, and like, been fucking driving my poor bandmates nuts.
I can only imagine.
Trying to get there. But obviously, I eventually decided to move on to greener pastures. And honestly, the rehearsal where I told Follavora that I was going to be quitting after this one show, that was going to be my last thing with them, that was not fun. Not fun. Max, our guitarist, bless him, was so fucking angry with me. Like,
do you know what?
He didn't talk to me for a couple of days.
And I shouldn't laugh about it, because it's horrible, but I think that's the thing, is that like, we auditioned a few other bassists, and where we were obviously having Ewan as technically a session player at the time, he was what we were using as a comparison for other players. And I remember Jack saying to me, going, they're still not as good as Ewan. So yeah, like that was how I think we met Ewan. And I don't think we've missed anything there, have we?
No, I think that was pretty complete. I've been talking for too long.
Oh, well.
Sorry. Sorry, everyone. That was super boring. No one cares about me.
People care about you, Ewan. They sort of care about you.
Sometimes. Like, I know my mum tries to look like she cares.
Oh,
so.
She loves you. Bless her.
Bless my mum. Mum, I love you. But yeah, that's where we're at. Now we're in Dali. So I joined fully about the time that we released Lungs. So I wasn't on the recording for Lungs, but I was in the music video.
Yeah.
Because I joined like a couple weeks before we shot that. And then everything since then has been all me. It's all Ewan doing the bass things in the Dali. But everything before that was some other dude.
Some other dudes.
Collection of dudes.
Collection of dudes, isn't
Duo
it?
Of dudes.
No, it's been... Obviously, the more people... I'd like to think the more people listen, the more they understand that there's a certain rapport between me and Ewan. And it's, and as you can... You look at Dali and what Dali is, that we are a completely different reflection, actually, of what...
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Dali is a very serious where we put out like a quite serious sort of vibe.
It's serious, but I think in such an emotive way. I think that
it's not like suit and tie serious. No. It's like clearly there's a lot of passion and care that like
goes into it,
yeah. And very serious about like serious business.
It's what we look, at the end of the day, it's what we love, and we've always said it from the start. It's like you start as you mean to go on with these sort of things.
But this is definitely not that. I think people find it a little weird when they like, if they've seen like a lot of the our content online and us at gigs and stuff like that, and then they like if they have like a fly on the wall moment where they say like me and you or me, you and Jack interacting, and they're just like, that's not the same fucking band.
No, it's not.
Because we're just the most obnoxious.
No, we're not obnoxious assholes. Let's make that relatively clear from the offset. It's just the fact that we are just
very funny.
No, I think like a lot of people though, we're stubborn in certain things in regards to being creative.
Yeah,
that's literally it.
Anything
else, Ewan?
No, that's everything. Anyone ever needs to know about me. Yeah. But, that's the story of me. That's far too much personal information. Other note, one more thing. I masturbate with my left hand. That's a slight weird thing. I'm right-handed normally, but...
I didn't even need to know that.
There we go. Anyway, Matt.
Yes, yeah.
Same question to you. Where did your sort of creative life begin and why? And... Just talk to me, man. Give me the deets.
Okay.
I'll
give you the deets.
Talk to me, crabs.
I don't think there was necessarily like rhyme or reason into why I became creative initially. Like there was no like bit where I went, I'm going to be a creative now.
When I grow up, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah, there was never any of that. I think initially, like a lot of people who were born circa sort of like 95 to 2004... the first like taste of that sort of music I got was Busted.
Oh yeah, that was my first album.
Yeah, well, the first album I actually bought, little sneak preview here, the first album I bought with my own money was Demon Days by Gorillaz,
I don't think I knew that. You must have told me, but that's
the first album. Physical album. I love CDs, like I've got a load of CDs, but Busted was the first like, I guess, taste of rock music. It's not like rock, but it's like it's pop rock. It's accessible rock. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's distorted guitars and power chords, but yeah. It's, you know, talking about girls and things.
Exactly. So I first listened to Busted, and I was, before Busted, I was really, really, and still am, but I was more into football, and that's what I wanted to pursue as a... as going forward. Obviously at the time when I was like 14, 15, I wasn't talking about pursuing it as a career. I was just having a kick about. And then my cousin lent me a copy of American Idiot by Green Day.
Yep.
And I still cite that now as the reason that I Busted was the taste, and then the American Idiot by Green Day was the addiction. That was the thing that I was like, oh fuck, this is like,
yeah, I need more of that.
Yeah, I think I remember like even watching the videos and watching the Bullet in a Bible. I don't know if you know the Bullet in a Bible, which is basically the American Idiot like live video sort of thing. I remember watching that and thinking like, this is incredible. They're playing to tens of thousands of people who are just in absolute awe of this experience, and I want to do that.
Yeah.
So I just sort of transitioned into making music with sort of like a load of hometown.
Is that when you started playing guitar and stuff then?
Yeah. So I'd always had a guitar. Like I was given a Argos nylon stringed acoustic.
It's like one of those family gifts. They're like, what the fuck does Matt want? I don't know, get him a guitar.
And I always had that, and then I got that, and then when I started getting into music, I said to my parents, I was like, I'm going to need an electric guitar because it's what I want to do. And I saw I saw Blue. in the basket case video.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I want a strap. So we went online and on eBay for probably the best part about £40. I got this unbranded Sunburst strap.
Nice.
That I still remember now. The action was horrendous. You could get about four fingers in it. between the neck and the string.
The neck looks more like a banana than...
Yeah, pretty much. And I had that for the best part about 4 months until I realised, like, this isn't feasible going forward.
Playing that for 4 months is quite impressive.
And I was, like, learning stuff, and I was like... Because I remember thinking that the action was so bad, I was like, I know why they pay musicians now. I was like, this is so hard. I was playing these power chords on this awful Sunburst strat. Anyway... and then I was like, oh, I need to buy a proper guitar. So I then bought a Butterscotch Telly, a Squire Butterscotch Telly.
Know how I love a telly.
Man, like, at the time I was really into that sort of, like, late 90s, like, pop punk. Sum 41, Blink, Good Charlotte, Green Day. And then I don't really know where it changed for me. But I think I then started to look at music very differently after listening to two specific albums.
Okay, hit me with them.
So the first one's Grace by Jeff Buckley. Okay. I don't know if you've heard that album.
No, I have. I wasn't expecting that.
So the reason why was I listened to it front to back and I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, this is so like... I felt so many things listening to that album. So many things, and I was like, this is really, really odd that I'm... Why? I think I was in awe of how music made me feel, and this was the first album that made me feel such a cluster of things. I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
And then The Holy Bible by Manic Street Preachers. And that album was like, because at the time as well, and I'm not going to dive into it because it's not appropriate, but at the time I was getting very much into how the world works, certain aspects of politics and stuff like that, because I was coming of an age where I was like, although I know that the American Idiot album was okay, you could technically call it pop punk, there was an aspect of like how they were speaking about the Bush administration quite a lot as well.
Yeah, it's when they became like politicized, really.
Exactly. So like I never really understood it at first, and then I was, the more I dove into that, and the more I dove into if anybody's ever heard the Holy Bible album by Manic Street Preachers as well, like that is, the lyrical content and that is crazy good. And that made me take music more seriously. And that was around the time as well, like I was coming out of college and finding my feet and going into university. And then obviously I studied popular music and record production at university.
Oh, fancy man with a degree over here.
I know. And then within that, I studied popular pop music and protest and like politics within that. And it sort of just grew from there and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And like with everything within being a creative, and especially my nature as well, where I have the tendency to be so indecisive and so all over the place. And
just
I have
a little bit.
I've got ADHD as well. So like trying to do anything is difficult as fuck, basically. It was the one thing I could come back to that I could find solace and comfort in. And, I've always had a very weird relationship with music, always, where I've been like, at first it was like a level of success sort of thing, and then I had to sort of like teach myself like that success is driven through the eye of the beholder and how you view success. And then it was like, and this was the big question, it was like, what's good music?
Oh God, that is the question, isn't it?
And I was like, am I writing good music? Is this music?
Am I art? Is music in? What the heck?
Yeah.
Just like...
So I left uni with this existential crisis of going, like, university has basically told me how to... And so this is just a quick disclaimer. I'm not saying don't go to uni, and I'm not going to say where I went to uni. But university taught me to write music to a grade. And I was like...
And you're like,
I'm
wait.
So numb to what I want to make now.
It's like... Then when you try and make something
real
and like outside of your uni course, you're like, well, but how do I know if this is good if someone isn't marking
it? I didn't, for 3 years, I didn't write anything for me. I wrote it for a degree.
Yeah.
And of course, if you want to go to university, I completely endorse that. And I think it's really, really good. As a creative, I think looking back now, if I could give myself any advice, it would be just remember how to separate where you are as a person and as a creative from your degree.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it's all I've known and it's all I love. I love being creative. I think it's a very big part of who I am.
Yeah, man. I mean,
and I've made so many good friends as well. And
hey-ya.
Exactly. And like, obviously everybody has like trials and tribulations through the way they live their life and things they do, but like I'd like to think that now, because as I'm sure everybody can be aware, being a teenager, you're basically a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
straight up. You learn so much. And like, I think especially as well in the way that I consume and create music now, I'm a very, very different person. And although I've got a lot going on as well in my head, in the way that I think about music, my relationship with it has to be as open and honest as possible, or I think I get to a point where it becomes all encompassing and I'm all or nothing with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's sort of me. Like, I don't want to give away too much now, because I'd like to think that the more that we speak and the more episodes there are, the more people can sort of divulge in. But as a creative, like, music's something that I'm pretty big, obviously, on, because I'm in a fucking band.
Yeah.
But like, the one thing that will probably come more prominent the more we speak is that, like, I was never properly a singer as well before.
Yeah, you never wanted to be a singer, did you?
Not really. Well, I think when I was younger and in like hometown early bands, everybody wants to be the singer, and I think in a few bands, like, I tried it and it just I'd not been basically very fucking good. Not that I'm great now.
Yeah, okay. Matt is downplaying how good a singer he actually is.
Thank you, Ewan. In He Rife, we'd been looking for a singer for ages, and it just came to a point where me and the bassist at the time were like, we're not going to fucking find one, because singers are awful to find and they're awful people.
Oh,
and
my God.
If you're a singer and you're offended by that, you are only just backing up my claim.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you're a singer, you should know that you're all dicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a bit tired today. Can you carry my microphone into the fucking venue?
Pretty much. My trusty 58.
My trusty 58. You know they have like 58s at every venue. You don't need to bring one. She's like, yeah, no, but no, my this one is my, sounds
this is
different.
My special one because I cup it differently.
Yeah. I cup it differently and I hold it up against the monitor differently.
Exactly.
And yeah.
And I sort of just ended up teaching myself how to sing.
Very well.
Thank you, ma'am. And I think that's the thing, is that, like, especially where me and Ewan create quite a lot together as well, it gives me a lot of confidence, because alongside Ewan, I know that we can, because we both obviously record vocals in front of each other as well. It gives us both, I think, a platform not only to be better, but to sort of work, especially with vocals. It's such a hard thing as well, because it's not like a guitar where you can just work, tune up properly, fix the action, this and that. Like, you are the instrument. Like, it's so...
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, there is a step-by-step process that you can follow to create a good sounding note on a guitar, but like, there's no distinct mechanical physical way you can like do that to sing well. It's,
oh, man, it's
all
crazy.
Internal, it's crazy. And I'm still not very good at it. Like, the only reason I've been learning to sing is for like backing vocals and other vocal duties and stuff in Dali, and I've been learning a lot from Matt. And I don't think I'd be able to do any of this shit if Matt hadn't done it all on his own first. So
exactly. I am the giver. You yes. are just the receiver.
I am just the receiver. I'm just a body for which your artistic spirit can flow through. Yeah.
But
and
no,
you'll
it,
come.
It, oh, Jesus Christ. But that's what I mean. I think it's the, and that's why I couldn't be an independent artist as well. I'm not even going to go down that path, but I mean, like, I couldn't do it because I love working with people. But sort of transitioning out of just speaking about me.
It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
It's not great.
Yeah,
however,
right?
I'm sort of at ease and at peace with it, because I know that we're going to have to do it, because obviously we're going to be speaking to guests, but I think in some way or another, they're going to want to ask us questions.
Yeah, it's going to be a discussion. It's not a fucking interview.
Two-way street, exactly.
We hate interviews.
No, it's not that I hate interviews.
We hate it. Okay, I hate interviews.
I just don't like being... And this is not me trying to be a fucking prima donna, but when you sort of get asked the same sort of question and you give out the same rehashed answer every fucking time, it almost becomes pointless. Like...
If anyone watching, listening to this... I keep saying watching. Is listening to this and is from, like... a magazine or like press agency or whatever, artists do not like receiving the PDF questionnaire that has the same questions that they've been asked six times already that day on them, and no one likes reading it either.
This is the thing, is that I think that it's not the fact that no one likes reading it. I was like, if you're doing these questions, get fucking creative, man.
Yeah,
that's the way that I'm looking at it.
How many times have we been asked, where does the name for the band come from?
I'm not driving down that path. And like, this is the thing, is that I appreciate that they're out there doing a job. And like, don't get me wrong, I have time for it. But even though I have time for it, doesn't mean that it doesn't then become fucking monotonous.
Yeah. I don't know.
But saying that, we've had publications ask us very fucking good questions.
Yeah. So I don't hate interviews. I hate bad interviews. And we've been doing a lot of them. Like, you kind of just... when you're a small band, you're like trying to release something and you like email all these like magazines and shit and they're like, right, or here's the questionnaire of like stupid questions that no one cares about. But when you get like a good interview, like the one we did on Skype with the Southampton University magazine, that was really fun.
They
had to cut quite a lot of my stuff out of that.
It's fine though.
I remember the person who was editing it messaging me and being like, yeah, you need to not swear so much. I'm cutting out these swears to make you not seem like as much of a dick as you actually are.
This is the thing, I think, and that's the difference between what we're doing now, is I think if we were to censor it so much, it would basically only be like 5 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
But sort of transitioning out of the whole interview thing, like we...
Yeah, rant over.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're currently doing then, I think, is one thing that I thought, especially in this pilot, again calling it a pilot,
I mean, a pilot would like sort of imply that, like, on a TV show you make a pilot episode and then the network decides whether or not they want to make more episodes. You guys are fucking getting more episodes whether you like it or not. We don't care.
Exactly.
We're just making this.
I think the thing is just to sort of say what we've been doing and through the lockdown, which is, to be honest with you, the one thing we've been doing is making music. Because I think that's what we're going to do, is we're going to be speaking to other creators about what they've been doing, how they've been dealing with the lockdown, and obviously just general conversation. But
yeah,
I think,
like, what you've been working on at the moment. So let's ask ourselves, what have we been working on at the moment, Matt?
We've been working on demoing.
Yeah.
Because I think the one thing that's kept me sane through this whole fucking lockdowns, I appreciate the sentiment and why we're doing that. I'm not trying to say that I'm that way fucking inclined.
Yeah, you should definitely still like follow the rules and get the vaccine and stuff like that.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that it doesn't make it any easier. We've just been making music. I think it's the one thing that's been keeping me sane, is that like, if I didn't have an outlet to create, I would just go fucking mad.
Like, I mean, that was like a period of a few months where we weren't really creating anything and it was really rough. Like, we were all just going fucking insane.
Yeah,
and we were arguing
so
every other day.
I know. Like, running a band virtually is fucking awful.
Man, the number of like 2-3 hour Skype meetings that I just sit in and I'm like, I know this is super necessary. Oh yeah. Get that sparkling water open. There we go.
Carry on, sorry.
The number of like stupid long Skype meetings that are just so much easier in person, but like you have to do them because we can't meet up in person, is insane. And I cannot wait to be able to be in a room with the rest of our band again.
Oh man, I know. And I think like a lot of other creatives, just trying to... taking obviously any financial gain or give out of the equation, because obviously we most recently have released a song called Bitter,
and available on all streaming platforms. Check it out now.
And we did all of that, and this is obviously the way that we worked, purely because of the situation as well. we recorded it when we were allowed to. I'm going to make that very clear.
Yeah, so we managed to record it last summer when, like, lockdowns eased, but we were still, like, social distancing and only allowing certain people into the studio. Like, we spent most of the day sat outside.
Yeah.
In cause the burning hot sun.
The studio that we record in, which is Echo Room Studios, which is run by Jack Irving, which I could only endorse heavily.
Yeah, he's a really good dude.
Such a fucking nice guy. And he's such a good producer as well. Please go and check him out.
We should get him on here.
We should potentially get him on, yeah.
Would people like to hear our producer and a producer?
Maybe.
Independent producer?
I think the question is, does Jack want to come on the podcast?
Yeah, does Jack have the time in between juggling, looking after his newborn and trying to run?
It's not even a newborn anymore, man.
Is it not? How long?
July? June, maybe?
No way. Oh,
but
yeah.
We must have gone in what, September, July, yeah, that time? Anyway, we're talking about babies. That is not what this is for.
No, this is not for babies.
We obviously went into the studio. It was very distant, and we were very, very lucky because we then set out to sort some sort of PR campaign for Running Bitter, because there was no way of us going out and playing it fucking live anywhere. So we had to obviously get it out to people and push it the best we could. And we were very, very, very lucky to be picked up by Hold Tight PR, who we worked with for Bitter, that was the way we then got Bitter out to people, and we put it out there, and we did the video ourselves in Ewan's garage, and
made Matt very ill.
Oh, yo, I thought I had COVID.
Legit, you took time off work.
I had to isolate, and it was horrible.
And it turns out it was just like some fucking mental disgusting mold from, like, that was airborne in this, like, shitty garage.
No, do you know what it was? It was when we were trying to hang those sheets.
Oh my god,
and there were,
god,
like, cobwebs,
yeah,
falling. Basically, we recorded the video in Ewan's parents' garage, which was fine, and it was a best part of probably about a 12-hour shoot, and we took everything out of the garage and then had to put it back in when we were done.
Yeah.
But within the garage there was a lot of, like, cobwebs, a lot of dust, a lot of everything, and I'd obviously somewhere or another managed to get this in my fucking lungs, and I then woke up the next day with this banging headache. I was, like, feeling sick and I couldn't stop coughing, and I thought, if I have a loss of smell and taste as well. So I called him work and I was like, oh, just like I've picked up, like, a cold or something. And I remember them going, how do you know it's a cold? And I was like, fair point. And they were like, well, if you've got those symptoms, you have to isolate. And I was like, fuck. So obviously at that point, then I then had to tell my partner, who was possibly more mad than anyone else.
Was she really angry?
The problem was is that because at the time, there obviously restrictions had been lifted actually relatively recently as well. Yeah. She was like, I was planning to do all this shit that I haven't been able to do for 4 months. You are kidding me. We have to stay inside. So I then had to go and have a test, which, if anybody here has to do a COVID test, it's the most horrid thing.
They're not fun.
Yeah, it's awful. Anyway,
At cost to you as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because this was before the government had rolled out, like, mass testing for
people.
Yeah,
the testing wasn't even that great at the time. So I actually had to pay for one.
The fuck was that?
Because the way that it worked was that, like, if I waited any longer, I would have been on stat sick pay, which is shit, basically. It's £90 a week. That's awful.
Yeah. So, like, and bearing in mind, we were in the middle of the rollout for Bitter, yeah, which is expensive.
It's being in a band. This is, if you're going to take... now you know thing from this, being in a band is expensive,
very.
So I had to pay for one, and I got it done, and it came back negative. But, like, obviously I was still coughing a fucking ton, so I had to go to doctors, and they were like, "Yeah, here you are. You need to take an inhaler. You basically are struggling to breathe because your lungs are full of this shit." And I was like, "Oh, good." So that lasted for like a month, man. Anyway, yeah. We've gone on for about my lungs for fucking far too long. So we'll dive out of that. I think we'll sort of, I know this is the last sort of, like, ending towards the podcast. So, like, I think,
is it? I was planning on going for another 3 hours,
here,
mate.
Here we go.
Let's make it some Joe Rogan shit where it takes like 6 hours to listen to a single episode.
It's just
Elon Musk getting high the whole time.
Potentially might be a hot take. I'm not huge on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I don't like it.
Okay, well, that was easy. what have you been listening to at the moment, Ewan? Because as much as we do create a lot together and as much as we do talk, we don't actually share an awful lot of what we're listening to actually for entertainment.
No, I mean, we sometimes just send like Spotify links into the band chat. We're just like, listen to this fucking song, it's great, we need to write something like this, and then everyone ignores it, it doesn't click on it.
And it's always People Equal Shit by Slipknot.
It's always People Equal Shit by
or
Slipknot.
Or Dig by Mudvayne, because oh, let's God. Be frank, that song. Anyway, sorry.
What have I been listening to? This week, I've really been digging the new songs from Error.
Now, I briefly got introduced to Error by somebody who I work with, and I know they're very... There's a style of music that I call very Ewan, and Error is almost just Ewan.
Yeah, so it's like...
So to somebody who doesn't know...
Someone who doesn't
like,
know... have never heard Error, they are like a progressive modern metal, kind of like metal, not really metalcore, but like, yeah, modern progressive metal is probably where I'd say it's very like technical and
very technical,
like insane riffs, low tunings, all seven strings, and yeah, like nice melodies as well as brutal brutal disgusting vocals. And they're releasing a new album, it's either this month or next month,
okay,
and they've got four songs out at the moment. The one came out the other day called Scorpion Hymn, and that song is fucking heavy, and like all of the songs they like, I like their last album a lot as well, but this is like some next level stuff. They're doing some stuff which they haven't done before, and it's sort of elevating their songwriting to another level, and I'm really digging it.
Cool, man. What else have you been listening to then, other than Error?
I've been listening to the other new releases that I've been listening to, are obviously all the new Architect singles.
See, I agree with you there. However, there are some that I'm not a huge fan of.
They've only released three.
Yeah, I don't like Black Lungs.
What?
So Dead Butterflies, I'm going to go on record, is saying the best Architect song.
I haven't decided that yet, but it is definitely top five for me. It's fucking great.
And when I first heard Animals, I was like, yeah, this is all right, but it's nothing special. And then the more that I listened to Animals, the more angry I got. I was like, this fucking rock, this is so good.
Yeah, it's insanely good. To the point where we were writing a demo like a week or so ago, and we've got this like breakdown section in it, and I was like, what if we just like kind of take inspiration, I'm doing quotation marks because in music great artists steal, I was like, what if we like kind of do that ridiculous like staccato stop into breakdown for the breakdown section like they do in Animals, and it was such a good song.
It's not that Black Lungs is a bad track, it's a bad track for Architects.
No, it isn't, man. Oh, that
anyway, riff. Anything else you've been listening to, Ewan? Anything that's really
different from... So, it all sounds... At the moment, it sounds like I just listen to metal all day, every day. Which is the case sometimes, but I've also been listening to...
Gent.
Gent. I've been listening to... Oh, what's that?
I want to make it very clear, very quickly. My opinion of Ewan is that he is a cyborg. He's half human, half robot. Because I sometimes think that Ewan thinks in binary code as well, just in the way he is. And if anybody who doesn't know what Ewan looks like, the best way I can describe Ewan is he looks like that alien from
Men in Black. From Men in Black, the little like helper around the office alien.
He like, looks so much like... Anyway, I'm really sorry.
I don't actually look like that. I do look like a human.
No, you look like a cyborg. You're devoid of emotion for a start.
I'm not devoid of emotion. It just takes a lot to get me to show excitement at any moment.
I said to Ewan, I was like, oh man, I'm like... A series of events happened. I was like, oh, you know what? We should do a podcast. And I was expecting something along the lines of, yeah, man, that sounds really fucking good. And he was like, could do.
It's like, yeah, why not?
Continue. I was like, whoa, okay.
And Matt was like, you don't seem sure about it. I was like, no, this is me being enthusiastic and excited. I definitely want to
cyborg.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway,
but
sorry,
I found it that I've been listening to this It's another new release. I've been listening to a lot of new music.
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
There's a electronic kind of duo. So it's a electronic producer and a pianist duo called Grand Brothers.
Okay.
And they released this album called All the Unknown. And it is beautiful. It's like this instrumental soundscape for like nearly an hour.
God's truth.
Great. Great piano parts and amazing ambience, and there's this one song on it called Organism, which I fucking love. It was one of the singles, I think. Okay. And it sounds, or maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But there's like a bit in it where there's this like electronic beep that, you know, the BBC News like intro beep. Music.
Beep, boom, boom, beep, boom, boom, boom. Thanks, we get copyrighted.
DMCA strike. Yeah, no, it sounds... It's got, like, that kind of vibe. Like, it reminds me of that, but it's also in amongst this, like, beat that just, like, grooves and this awesome ambient swell, and I'm like, how did they make the BBC News intro into, like, the most beautiful song I've heard
you know
this
what?
Year?
That beat reminds me, and you probably haven't heard it, off of 808s and Heartbreaks, Say You Will.
I don't know. No,
that's fine. Okay, don't worry.
Okay,
it's by Kanye. I love Kanye.
Telling me to listen to Kanye.
Honestly, I can't rate him high enough. I know that people think he's a piece of shit, and I can sort of see why they think that.
Kanye for president.
But as a musician, man, I can't fucking fault him. I can't fault him.
That's fair.
Anyway, what have I been listening to, Jan?
I wasn't going to ask you, but no, if you want to be a narcissist and talk about it, then sure.
I already am relatively narcissistic because I'm a musician.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the singer of a band. Look
See,
at me.
Reaffirming
I'm the
what
band.
I said earlier. Yeah, no. What have you been listening to recently, Matt?
So the latest album by Paris. I don't know if it's out, been out. Can you check when it was released for me?
It was a 2020 album, I think. Use Me came out last year,
right. I'd known of Paris for a while because I knew that, like, I know a lot of the people changing the A's to V's and the et cetera, et cetera, and all that.
Shvups.
Yes, shvups.
R.I.P.
But I listened to it and I started listening to it just on shuffle. I thought, like, this is really fucking good. Like, I can't, the thing is with it is that I can't now listen, after listening to it, I can't really compare it. And please, if anybody knows somebody that sounds like Paris, please let me know. But like, I listened to it, I was like, this is really fucking good. Sort of like a hidden gem, I guess you could put it, although people know who Paris is.
Yeah, it's not exactly hidden.
But for me, it was like a diamond in the rough. I was just like, because sometimes I'm just scrolling through Spotify and I'm like, I hate everything.
Yeah, like, I often like put on my Discover Weekly and it often just like recommends me the latest like gent songs. Yeah. And I'm like, this is all sounds the same, but then you come across something completely different and you're like, fuck,
this is crazy.
Fuck,
yeah,
fuck, fuck
that. I've been re-listening to Smashing Pumpkins again.
Oh yeah.
But do you know why I've been re-listening to Smashing Pumpkins?
I don't. You're gonna tell me.
Is it Contortionist?
The Contortionist, yeah.
Their cover of 1979.
That is a great cover.
One of the best covers I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's so good. I almost, hot take, slightly prefer it to the original.
That is a hot take. I can't agree with you.
Ever so slightly. Do you know the reason why? It's just because it's...
It's one of those few covers, I think, is...
It feels like it's actually their own.
It does. They've
That's why, I think.
While it's quite clearly the same song and a similar arrangement, it sounds and feels like a Contortionist song at the same time.
And I don't even know Contortionist that well, but like I hear it and it doesn't... I think the reason why is it because it sounds so different from, I actually think, what it would be if it was Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
But I've been re-listening to a lot of that.
Okay, what's your favourite Pumpkins album? Putting you on the spot.
Now, it's changed recently because I now think it is again Melancholy.
Okay. Okay. You know you're wrong.
I know, but I've been listening to it a lot recently. Well, the album with Ava Adore in it, is that called Ava Adore? I can't remember.
It's Adore.
Now, I listened to that album recently as well, and I was like, this actually isn't bad.
Yeah, no, lots of people sort of fell off Pumpkins after Melancholy, but Adore is a really pretty good album.
I haven't listened to it properly, and recently is the first time I listened to it properly. One album that just constantly gets replayed all the time for me is OK Computer by Radiohead, which is...
If anybody knows me,
I fucking love Radiohead. Radiohead can do no wrong in my eyes, except for, hot take here, Kid A.
Fuck you.
I don't like
Fuck
Kid
you.
A.
Get out of my flat right now.
I don't like Kid A.
Get out of my flat.
There are certain bits
Kid
of Kid A.
Is the second best Radiohead album. Oh, after In Rainbows.
Okay, so you're also wrong there. You're wrong there. The worst album, I'm going to rephrase it, the worst Radiohead album is Pablo Honey.
Agreed.
Then Kid A.
No.
Except for, I think on Kid A, it's How to Disappear Completely.
Oh,
is that on it?
Yeah,
that's such a good song.
Beautiful.
Other than that, OK Computer is a crazy, crazy good album.
Man, Electioneering is an underrated gem, because obviously everyone always goes to like Karma Police and Paranoid Android and stuff like that, but Electioneering
is the riff in that song as well.
The riff and like the weird like vocal effects and the... Man, it's...
That's just Tom York being Tom York though there.
Yeah, it's like... It's almost like creepy, that song. I fucking love it.
I don't even know what it is about OK Computer, but they managed to capture some... That like stamp in time and place so well.
Yeah.
And I'm so envious of that because...
We weren't making music in 1997.
We weren't. And if I remember rightly, I read about this. They actually made it in like a haunted mansion in France or something. I might be completely wrong here.
No, I think that was Kid A.
Oh, was it?
I think that, yeah.
And that's why it's shit.
The story was I read that they did like OK Computer in like a regular studio, and then after that they wanted to do something completely different, which is why Kid A is completely different.
Really different.
It's like the biggest musical left turn in history. But they went and like recorded all of Kid A in this haunted mansion. They just, because their Radiohead, brought in all these fucking synths and random instruments and learnt them there.
I think that's kind of the reason though I don't like Kid A. Not because it's a bad album, because it was the start of sort of Radiohead Part 2,
which I prefer,
because In Rainbows, very good album,
the best,
not the best, but very good album,
the best. Videotape,
yes. The way that song is written and the weird, like, because there's something about that song, isn't it? He starts on two.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's really weird.
It's a syncopated rhythm, but the drums aren't played syncopated. It's everything else is kind of just off.
Yeah. Which gives it this really, like, uneasy vibe.
That's why people can't clap along to that song.
Yeah. Moonshaped Pool as well. Such an underrated album.
Oh, man, I remember when Burn the Witch came out. No,
the video for that is so good as well.
Hyped on that song.
Is it Daydreaming as well?
Yeah, man.
That and the video for that as well is so cool. Like, I just look. We're diving too much into Radiohead here. I just love Radiohead. But just to sort of tie this off, because I feel like we've been talking for
Over an hour now.
Over an hour.
Yeah. This podcasting shit's easy, man.
Oh man.
Why doesn't everyone have a podcast? Oh wait.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh wait.
Exactly. You're listening to, hopefully, is going to be something that we are going to
let's face it, this is now your favorite podcast.
I hope so. Or like episode is, but like, no, I think the thing is that like it's something that I can really, really like so get on board with as well, talking to other creators. And like, obviously when this has gone up, we would love to hear if you want us to speak with yourself, if you're anybody that wants to come on here.
Yeah, if you want to have a chat with these two assholes, then if you're interesting, we don't want to hear from you if you just work in Sainsbury's and that's your whole life.
Maybe there is a secret art
to working at Sainsbury's. I mean, I'm currently working in a supermarket, so I know that there isn't. But maybe there is.
You've just not found it yet.
I just haven't found it, and you need to tell us about how shelf stacking is the new sculpture and how it is going to be the big form of art moving forward into the 2030s.
Definitely. But I sort of want to sort of round it off by thanking anybody that's literally got this far.
Yeah, if you've got this far.
Well, Jesus, you, why? Honestly, we should be paying you. No, and you're not even paying us.
Yeah, this is free content, but honestly, it's a waste of your time, and your time is worth more than this.
Exactly, but thank you so much, because I think it's been...
It's fun. I like doing this.
I like doing it. It's just, it still feels weird.
It does still feel weird.
I think it feels weird because me and you, and we talk a lot anyway, and it seems weird now of... We're almost having a conversation, but other people are just listening to it, and not being able to say anything or partake in the conversation. They can just observe.
It's weird because we're also sort of having bits of conversation that we probably wouldn't do if we weren't on this format.
Exactly, and like
I've learned things about you today,
and I've listened to you.
Yep.
And I'm so looking forward to as well, just to speaking to people that I either know relatively well and just divulging more into who they are and just having genuine conversations, or even people we don't know that well, and
yeah,
just being able to get to a point where you can understand maybe even their industry, but the way that they operate as well. Like, that's for me, it's super interesting. But like,
yeah, I mean, that's really the meat of it. That's, we're only doing this episode because, well, first of all, we want to, second of all, we haven't done this before, so we thought we'd probably test it out on ourselves first.
I think it's gone okay.
I think it's gone okay.
No, it's not been shit.
You guys can tell us, was it any good?
Nobody is listening to this point.
If someone does tell us, yeah, you guys should keep doing this, then I know that you did, and thank you very much. But what was I going to say?
I don't know.
I'm getting tired now. We should call it. Oh, yeah, no, the meat of it is like, we're doing this because we want guests to come on, and what the fuck am I saying?
We're basically,
what was I gonna say, Matthew?
I think it's more the case of, as well,
I need a drink.
There's so many industries that we are connected within, obviously not only music, but then there's the video industry, the photography industry, to some degree even the fashion industry as well, just by proxy, I think, of,
yeah, because we do merch and we're such a fashion icon.
I kind of meant because of other people that we potentially get.
Remember when we saw one of our shirts in a charity shop?
Yeah, we're not gonna go down that avenue. I'm just so interested in to find out in the way they work, and in just genuinely have nice conversations with people, because we've been so devoid of that for about 12 months.
Yeah, this is essentially just an excuse to actually talk to people.
Exactly. But again, thank you so much for listening to the Green Tape with Matt and Ewan.
Ewan and Matt.
Ewan and Matt, Matt and Ewan.
Matt and whatever. Ewan. The Green Tape. The Green Tape. The Green Tape. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.